I'm really drawn to the first reading, the reading from Jeremiah. We have, really it's not enough verses really to get, gather what's going on there, but what you need to know is there's two prophets and two messages. One of the prophets is Jeremiah, and another is this guy named Hananiah, who we don't know anything else about but from this, but from these couple chapters. Hananiah says in the verses before us that God will break the yoke of Babylon, the force that was encroaching on the freedom of God's people will be removed, basically, right? The Babylonians were like the power that be. They were the Russian aggressors, the bullies, if you will, of their own time and place. And Hananiah says, don't worry about it. God's going to remove their yoke from your shoulders. In fact, our rightful king will return, he says a few verses later. The ornaments that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the ornaments that Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple, they're going to come back. And all this will happen in 2 years. Sounds like pretty good news, doesn't it? It's all going to come to an end. People are going to be restored, king's coming back, the ornaments are coming back. And Jeremiah is standing there, he's like, you know, you got to picture him in like kind of haggard clothing, and he's actually literally wearing a yoke. He's carrying around this yoke. He's crazy, but he's literally carrying this yoke on his shoulders. And he's like, amen, Hananiah, I hope you're right. I hope there's good news. But it's kind of like the Columbo thing, you know, like just one more question, right? One more question. It seems like all the prophets that came before didn't talk about that kind of thing. Seems like they talked about, well, what's the list here? They prophesied war, famine, and pestilence. So how do you preach these things and it doesn't really fit what's come before? Jeremiah says that, Hananiah, your message doesn't match what the prophets who have preceded us said, and the proof will be in the fulfillment. So you have two prophets and two messages. One preaches peace and prosperity, and the other, well, the other preaches death and destruction. He says, the yoke that I'm carrying around symbolizes the yoke that is going to be on you, Jerusalem, and eventually the city will be destroyed. One of these prophets was persecuted. One of them was beaten. One of them had his writings burned. One of them was thrown in a well as a makeshift prison. The thing about prophets, as you're probably gathering, is that, or at least the real ones, the things about prophets, or the real ones, is that they tell us things we don't want to hear. And the thing we most don't want to hear, the thing we most don't want to hear is that we're wrong. Am I right? Prophets come to correct, to speak uncomfortable truths, to remind people what they had promised or what God had done for them that warranted their faith and obedience in response. It is our fallen nature. It's part of this human condition that we live in, that we love to be right. Consider basically that all arguments, every single argument, from small to big, whether it's between individuals or nations or corporations, all arguments boil down to, I'm right, you're wrong. And we're furthermore masters at finding excuses for why, furthermore, we're not at all to blame, why there's no fault at all in us. In the opening pages of the Bible, we get a few examples of this. You remember God says to Adam, why'd you eat? The woman whom thou gavest to me. Eve, why did you take the fruit? Well, the serpent beguiled me. Or later on, God says to Cain, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? He responds. The prophets tell us stuff we don't want to hear. They tell us, basically, that we're wrong. And the prophets, the voice of the prophets, still speak today to us in the words of Scripture. When we hear the Bible, when we read it, we are confronted with our own failures, at least if we're reading it in the right way. If we're reading it in the right way, the Bible is a kind of mirror. It's a mirror in which we see ourselves more clearly. We see our failures and our excuses. The prophets tell us that God consigns our selfishness and injustice, our idolatry and callousness, to death and destruction. But the gospel contains a promise. It's not all bad news. It is bad news, but there's also a promise. And the promise, in the words of Jesus, is that he who receives a prophet because he is a prophet shall have a prophet's reward. The gospel, the good news, is the declaration that God has acted to move us from the place of wrong, which we are decidedly in, although we don't want to admit it. God has acted to move us from the place of wrong, of condemnation and judgment, to the place of justification and Christ's righteousness. The sign that you know about this action, God's action, you know about this decision of God, is how ready you are to receive the message of the prophets, how ready you are to admit that you might be wrong. It's a sort of irony that if you look at the lives of the saints, the more Christ-like they became, the more aware they were of their sin and their shortcomings. Jesus Christ has put himself in the place of our wrong, and he's called our wrong his own. In this divine exchange, he wants to give us peace and prosperity. In fact, he has given us a hope and a future. But we do have to admit it is an exchange. We do have to admit that he's taking our wrong and giving us his right. It's not what we deserve. Are you ready, friends? Are you ready to give a cup of cold water to the prophet who contradicts you and condemns? Jesus Christ has already taken the full draft of our sins. Without merit, therefore, without merit, we have a prophet's reward in him. Two prophets, two messages. Will you hear the real one today, or the fake one of our friend Hananiah? It's just so easy to hear, but not the truth. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, amen.